HPV positive, chlamydia positive, syphilis positive, COVID-19 negative. Winning!
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish. I swear we can't catch a technological break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Today, we're going to welcome back a good friend, Glenn North. He's going to join us with the latest dish on Camp Getaway, the Bravo Network's new show. They recently aired an LGBT Pride episode last week, and we get the inside scoop from our good friend, Glenn. My name is Tom, and I am your host. And as always, I'm here with my amazing co-host, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And also somewhere else in the background.
Hi.
It's who?
Can you hear the drum roll?
Hi, it's Elsie.
There she is. And welcome everyone to the show. So I feel like we're just going to have to turn everything upside down today. We were having technical challenges with this service. It seems like maybe everyone's on, but something is just not working correctly. So typically we would go through and do some stories and then we would jump into our guest. But guess what? Our guest is sitting backstage right now and he's here. So we're going to flip it on the script and we're going to do our guest first. We're going to do him. We are. And so I'm going to bring him in. So ladies and gentlemen, say hi to Glenn. He's back. How are you, Glenn?
Hi, I'm so good. Especially now that I know that you guys are going to do me.
Oh, we're going to do you, baby. So
the shirt's still Glenn, on, though.
That's true. It'll be hard to get done with a shirt on. But so switch things up a little bit, you know, keep you guys on your toes.
That's right. So, Glenn, I'm super sorry that we had to, like, sort of kind of bounce around and going nuts. You're on time for us, but we are, like, completely, like, super late.
Yeah, and Tom's new.
Yeah, no. So.
It's okay, guys. You're totally good. Better late than never. Here we are.
So Camp Getaway is now officially launched. We're up into what, episode 5 coming up?
Tonight is episode 4.
Episode 4. So, and last week, the show on Bravo ended up airing their LGBTQ Pride Weekend episode. And you seem to be front and center on this episode. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, for sure. So, every weekend, there's a different sort of group that comes. So one weekend it's young professionals, another weekend it's for like 40 and up. And so this weekend was LGBT. So most of the guests are from the LGBT community and it was lit. Yes. Obviously we had the best party that weekend. Everyone turned out, like we always do a theme party. And everyone turned out. I loved that episode because it really got to tell a little bit more of my story. So I talked about the coming out story. And a little bit of my experience with my dad, my relationship with my dad, and which becomes sort of a storyline throughout the rest of the season. But it was amazing, and it was fun to like dress all the other counselors in rainbow attire and pass up my fans. So yeah, I it's been my favorite episode so far.
I agree. I mean, you guys had a blast. So I saw the episode. For the most part, I was pretty thrilled to see the LGBT representation on Bravo and, you know, all of the people that were part of the episode. There was a couple of people that made some cameos that we know here from back home. So Scott Casper was one of them. He was on the show. There's a couple of other people there too as well. But you had the task of obviously making sure that a lot of the decorations and everything was, you know, A-okay. You yourself had your gear from top to bottom. All of your outfits were amazing. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your outfits?
Yes. So I've always like tiny shorts, the tinier, the better. I did, it was probably the favorite thing. One of my favorite things all weekend was a little mini pride parade. Mm-hmm. And so each of the team captains for one of the next events were literally on the flatbed of a truck waving like big flags around. So in that one, I had like a rainbow wig, which is my favorite. tiny little pink shorts, and obviously lavender glitter. There is no outfit complete without a little bit of glitter.
So there were two moments in the entire episode that really like stood out to me. The first one was when the episode is first starting. You're decorating the rooms for the crew members, for the people that work with you, and you're putting unicorn horns on everyone's tables. And one of your cast members walks in and says, "What is this? Like a rainbow dildo or something like that?" And he's like, "And you said, hey, whatever floats your boat, you know, to each his own." And but they really were like little unicorn horns that you wanted them all to wear. Mm-hmm. I thought that moment was like classic and awesome. But then there was also a very vulnerable moment with you and one of your cast members. Mm-hmm. And one of the cast members walked up to you and said, "Hey, Glenn, what advice do you have for me?" Mm-hmm. And you literally said to him, "Listen." What did you mean by that?
Yeah, I think as an ally, the best, like a straight ally, the best thing you can do is listen. You know, I think sometimes they even try and add something or you try and like be something. Like it's about holding space for people. And I think it's an important thing. That is the best thing an ally can do, like, of any kind, of any intersection. And I was really proud of him. I think he really did that. I was proud that he was receptive to that feedback. And I think he did a really great job that weekend.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And it's for me, it was the way you said it. There was an endearing way in which the words, "listen, just yeah. listen," that came out of your mouth that really just brought the point home. Like all you were telling him was, you don't have to agree. You don't have to, you know, get involved with the activities or whatnot in a way that makes you feel uncomfortable. All you have to do is if someone talks to you, listen. Because sometimes that's all it takes for us to feel comfortable yeah. and welcomed. And I thought that was very awesome. But there was a lot of drama in this episode.
Always. Always. You cannot have a reality show without drama.
And I feel that... so, is it Adam?
Yes. Yeah.
Why? Just why? So, yeah. So... I love that the theme weekend was LGBTQ. I just feel like Bravo took this thing with Adam and one of the other cast members and just sort of kind of ran with it. And it was just like, that's not what I wanted to see. How did you feel when you saw the episode back? Do you feel that Bravo did justice to the episode when it came to an LGBT representation on TV?
Yeah. So one of the things that I was disappointed with in past weekends, we get a chance to little stories of the featured guests. So, you know, weekend one, weekend two, you saw Tosh, and then Jordan's group. And I feel like in this weekend, we didn't get as much time to actually hear their stories. We didn't hear about Christine or Dolores. And I really wish we could have, like, gone into their stories a little bit, because they actually have incredible stories, especially Dolores. Also, can you guys hear me very well right now?
We're hearing a little feedback.
Yeah, okay. A little bit.
I can't hear like anything. I'm sorry. We're having some serious issues. I don't know if you guys can hear me right now.
I can hear you perfectly.
I can hear you. I'm not sure I can hear me. is it fine? Should I keep going? Are you good?
You sound better now, actually.
Okay. I'm just like getting as close as possible. Nope. Where was I?
We just lost Nick, but that's okay. He'll come back in.
We're going to work it out. So one of the... there was... Someone, one of the guests at camp, Dolores, at the time of filming, identified as a gay man who was a drag queen, and mm-hmm. Dolores Degage was her drag persona. But after the weekend, she was Dolores for the entire weekend, and so it was the first time in her life that she was Dolores for an extended period of time. And so after that weekend, the relief that she felt and sort of the self-discovery that she felt from that weekend helped put her down the road to transitioning. And recently, she got her name legally changed to Dolores Degage Hopkins.
That's amazing.
And a lot of it was from that weekend. You know, it was a safe space for her to do that. And everyone's like, oh my God, hi, Dolores. no one even batted an eye that she was Dolores for the whole weekend.
So you had an interview with her on channel.
Yeah. So I posted that on I did a live interview on my Facebook. Actually, and I started using StreamYard because of you guys.
And you know, I'm ready to just freaking flip on all of this, but but you know, it's technical, so you know, you just have to deal with the technical issues. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So it was quite a long interview, so I'm currently editing it down so I can make it a little more bite sized, more palatable.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll release it on my YouTube channel and on my Instagram. So since we didn't get a chance to get into her story, I'm kind of taking the chance to let the fans know a little more about Dolores.
That's awesome. So so what's next for Camp Getaway?
That's a good question. So right now, the plan is that it's going to be open as a day camp. So you won't be able to spend the night. And then we'll sort of feel it out as we go along. They're working with state authorities to see how they can operate safely, how many people can be there. And then we're seeing if we get a second season. So tell everyone to watch it so you can get a second season.
That's
absolutely.
I'll tell you, I'm hooked on it and I'm invested in the drama. So during the LGBTQ episode, was there anything dramatic that happened behind the scenes that we didn't get to see? Maybe something that you did that really didn't make the cut for the actual episode?
No, you saw most of the drama that that was happening. I just, you know, the one thing I wish we would have been able to see more of their stories. But yeah, I think they did a good job of like showing the drama that was actually happening. Honestly, like, you know, all the LGBT people were having a great time. So we didn't have any drama. It was the straight people that were playing all the drama that weekend.
Yeah.
Well, on like the legal aspect, are you able to go out and share more of these stories? Like you were saying, the one of the individual you shared before, but like, can we hear more about these people that weren't showcased really?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, I can't really talk about what you didn't see on the show. But I think that's one of the things I want to do with the show is the show is giving me a chance to be seen by a lot of people. And I want to take this time. I have 15 seconds of fame. You know, what do I want to do with it? I want to showcase other people's stories. And so I think it's, you know, you saw a little bit of Dolores, and now we get to go a little bit more into her story. And I also want to interview the guy that won the costume contest of Blowjob. He's actually a friend of mine. And so I want to interview him in 2 weeks about what his experience on the show was like.
So Glenn, you've been out for a very long time now. You have recently posted about your first time coming out. You had a picture in front of Stonewall and how meaningful and critical that's been to you. But you had a very interesting moment on the show and where you talked about the awkwardness between you and your dad. And can you talk a little bit about that? Like when you came out and his passive aggressive comments that he would make towards you, because I mean, I feel like you touched it a little bit on the on the actual episode, but I just wanted to know a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure. So my dad was a bit older. He was when he passed, he just turned 80, so he was an older generation. And when I came out to him, all the gay men that he knew hated their fathers. So I think a part of him blamed himself for me being gay, or at least in his mind for me thinking that I was gay. And he thought that like maybe our relationship, if we had a stronger relationship, I wouldn't have thought that, or et cetera. And, you know, eventually he started coming around, but he would send me these passive-aggressive emails. If I would post a photo of me in drag, he would send me emails and be like, "Glenn, future employers are going to see this, and I don't think they want you to be in drag." And I was like, "Dad, I'm an actor. Like, they want me to be in drag,
right?
For kinky boots. Like, I had to dance in heels. Like, they want to see me in drag." So, but eventually he came around. So it definitely took him a little while. And the big thing was, especially in his time when he was growing up, when I was very young, it was, you know, the height of the AIDS crisis, and you know, I came out like maybe, when was it? 10 years after the, or 6 to 7 years after the height of the AIDS crisis. So I think in his mind, you couldn't have a family meant that you were isolated, you were alone. You didn't have like the traditional family that, you know, that queer people have. And that's why I wish he could have seen LGBT Weekend, because I wanted to show him, like, that's what you think being gay is, but like, this is what being gay is. Being gay is actually you have this huge family of people you've never met, this huge support group, this huge community from people all over the world, of all different walks of life. They're your family. And of course you're going to have a family. Like, I totally want to have kids. That's not going to stop me. So it definitely took him a little while, but it was a little rocky at first.
That's so now you're, since being on Camp Getaway, I'm not sure exactly when all of this started recording, but your father passed recently.
Yeah. So he passed, this past January was the year anniversary of his passing.
And do you feel that you had a really positive reconciliation with your dad before he left?
I did. Yeah. So actually the Christmas before he passed, I remember feeling like it was important. I didn't know why, but I remember feeling like, you know, he's getting old. Like, I don't know how many Christmases I have left. And we had some like hard conversations. We talked it out and it was amazing. And then, you know, a month later, or actually less than one, he passed. So I have no regrets. Everything that was said needed to be said. You know, it kind of makes you think, like, you really have no idea how much time you have with people. So appreciate every moment.
When people watch reality TV, I feel like they're always like, oh my God, I can't believe this person is sharing this story. Or, oh my God, they're like trying to get pity. Or, oh my God, they're trying to create their own character. Like, how was it for you to actually like share this personal story? Like, was that hard for you? Like, to really be that out and open about your father, your coming out? And like, did you feel like, oh, I'm just trying to get ratings, or that's what people are going to think? Like, what was that process for you like?
That's a really great question. So one of the reasons I went on the show was because I wanted to tell my story so that people would feel less alone. Like, I want, if I can have one person see the show and say, like, I see myself in his story, then I've done my job. There were some moments. What's interesting is, like, if you're having a moment, if you're having a crisis and you want to be alone, you literally can't. Like, there are literally cameras following you the whole time. And so you have to have this moment. Like, there are definitely moments of like, okay, how much do I share? How much am I comfortable sharing? How much am I willing to let these perfect strangers into my life, into my vulnerabilities? And at the end of the day, it always came back to, I want to share my story. And I want people to see themselves in my story. So I was willing to like be vulnerable. And it's tough because then once you do, it's up to them to kind of, you know, weave it into the whole story. It was tough at first, but I just kept coming back to like, if one person can see this and feel less alone, then I've done my job.
Do you feel like other people, like, obviously we know your story is very visceral, very real, and connected to our community, but do you feel like in reality TV or in this situation, there were people that were like kind of cultivating this false reality to make TV work?
So what's actually really cool about our cast is I think a lot of reality shows, people are there just to be famous. They want more followers. They want to be on TV, whatever. But what's actually amazing about this cast is a lot of us came for different reasons. So like, you know, one guy wanted to try new things. One girl, you know, she loves Bravo, so she wanted to be a part of the process. And I really do think that everyone genuinely wanted to be there to help people and to try something new. And I think when you see something like that, when you see someone who is there just to be on TV, you can tell. So actually, Trip, the guy who, the boyfriend that came the second weekend, the ex-boyfriend.
Yes.
He wanted to be on TV. He did not come back for Neely. Like, he wanted to be on TV. And you can see, you can tell.
I was so mad at him, too.
Right? Yeah.
Because so, it's like... Can
tell when someone is genuine, when they genuinely want to be there, they're like... And you can tell when someone's being fake and when it's real. So I think all of our cast is actually really, really cool. I was worried that they would like put a plant of someone to be awful or like intentionally terrible, but nobody was. I love this cast.
Who knows? Maybe, you know, two episodes down the line, you might be able to see that.
We'll see.
So this was recorded, I'm assuming this was recorded in the summer of 2019.
Yes. Yeah. So and then, we started mid-July and ran until August.
Wow. I totally want to be like, I totally want to go to Camp Getaway now.
You should. It's so much fun. You guys would love it.
So, do they always have an LGBTQ weekend?
When?
Do they always have like a gay weekend?
Yeah. Yeah. Every year there's one weekend. I'm hoping they'll do it again this year. Again, we're still kind of up in the air of like how things are going to work out. But I hope so.
That's interesting. Hey, Bravo, if you're listening and interested, maybe we can do a live show there.
Yeah, that'd be so fun.
So what's next for you? I mean, obviously, you did Camp Getaway. There's a possibility, we don't know yet, that the network might pick up, season two. So if that happens, obviously, you'll be back, right?
Yep, that's the hope. I would love to do a second season. You know, I think again, like it was such a fun summer, and I would love to do it again. Especially now, like that we get it. A lot of the show was like kind of getting used to how it worked, getting used to a new job, getting used to a new environment, and now we can go and be like, okay, we get this, we got this. And I feel like we would have so much more fun this summer.
Yeah.
But yeah, but next, I'm trying to figure it out. You know, I would love to continue doing my little interview series, maybe turn that into something, turn it into a talk show. So right now it's just on Instagram and YouTube, but I don't know, we'll see where that goes.
Well, we'd be certainly interested in you know, keeping up with Glenn North, because, you know, you are a busy bee and you're all over the place all the time, which is amazing and incredible. And you're not afraid to try different things. So, you know, you started this whole interview series that you're doing. You had one of the guests that was staying at Camp Getaway come and join you. You're telling her story. She's about to transition. It's a beautiful thing. So there's a lot of positive things that came out of not only from people who participated in the episode, but also those that are viewing on the other end.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, I think that's where the show can succeed, is like getting to tell those stories. Like, those are the stories I want to hear. I want to hear about, you know, the person who used to be a drag queen, and, you know, she's much older, and, you know, a lot of people think like it's never too late is what kind of I get from that story. It's never too late to be your authentic self.
That's amazing. And so we know, you know, you talked about your dad on the show. What does your mom think?
She thinks it's fun. I think she doesn't quite get it. She thinks some of the drama is a little silly.
I have to agree with her.
Yeah, right? She loved the LGBT weekend. That's been her favorite episode so far. Obviously, for obvious reasons. She's not biased at all. she thinks it's fun.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And so if we do get a second season, I'm kind of hoping that we do, because it is a very fun show to watch. Camp Getaway airs on Bravo every Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can access that. It might be a different channel for different networks in different areas. So you have to check your local listing to find out what channel Bravo's on. But you can see Glenn on Camp Getaway, which is amazing. I'm super excited. I know somebody on TV.
Yeah.
And so, Glenn, if something else happens, you make sure you let us know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for having me again, guys.
You know, it's always fun. It's always fun to bring you in. Unless the boys, do you guys have any more questions for Mr. Glenn?
No, I just feel bad because I feel like I'm like, I've heard parts of the conversation. I got kicked out. Like, it feels weird. I feel like I haven't been able to connect this round, so we have to do this again sometime soon, because this has been a weird
it's a weird episode dynamic
so far.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, like once all this is done, we have to do like a one in person, because I'm very disappointed that you guys did not you know, I couldn't get a cocktail from you guys this time. Because let's be real, that's one of the best parts of, you know, doing Gay Talk is the amazing cocktails. So yeah, next time.
We'll have to get Chris to come down and be our cocktail maker. So I'm thinking that probably within the next...
Yeah, I can't model, evidently, so...
she pours heavy, that one. Then we can't talk. I feel that within the next 1 or 2 weeks, we may start sort of kind of transitioning back into the studio because this is not sustainable. Mm. It's freaking crazy. It's like some days it works, some days it doesn't. It's like we're at the mercy of technology and you know, we do the best we can. You know, what are your plans? I mean, are you doing anything? I know that you do tours around New York. When does that start back up? Or are you doing it? Are you practicing social distancing as a result of the changes? What's going on?
Yep. So I'm actually in the works. We're planning an LGBT history tour. So I do one in person, but obviously we can't do that right now. And so I am working on how to adjust it for a virtual audience. So what I'm trying to do is, you know, obviously, like, it's ideal to be in person. You can be at, like, we start and end at Stonewall. So you can be there and, like, kind of get the energy of the place and then talk about the history. So I'm thinking now, like, okay, well, we're going to be online. What are things we can do online that we couldn't do in person? So I'm brainstorming stuff like that. Like, I would love to, you know, talk about Stonewall, have a picture of Stonewall, show, like, old photos, and then maybe even throw in some, like, video, some multimedia. And scope can be a little bit bigger because before we were, you know, literally in one location where you could from walking distance, but now we can talk about literally anything. So I'm trying to figure out how big the scope should be and at what kind of stuff to use.
You could even turn it into a fundraiser for a LGBTQ nonprofit.
Yeah. The plan is actually to get it for Stonewall Initiative. Right now they're trying to keep gay bars that are threatening to close because of COVID. They're funding them, funding their employees. So yeah, all the tips for us will go toward that program.
That's awesome. Well, Mister, we wish you luck. I can certainly say that anything that you do is always a pleasure to watch because you're genuinely an amazing person, an awesome person. And when you interact with others, you do that genuinely. And that comes through in all of your conversations. So
thank you guys. I really appreciate it. You guys are the best.
Again, our apologies for all the technical difficulties. But thank you for being such a you know, sport about it and coming and joining us once again on Gay Talk.
Always a pleasure. All right. Thank you, Glenn.
Bye, Glenn.
Well, ladies and gents, that was Glenn North. So we lost Elsie halfway through the broadcast. And Christopher, how are you?
I'm good. My shit was acting up, apparently.
Yeah, well, you know, shit happens. So we've got a couple of things that we want to cover.
Die.
But I'm going to give my boys an option so we can do one of two things. We can go straight through, bang it out, or take a break and come back.
Oh, break.
You want to do break?
Please, 5 minutes. Yeah. All right. This has been stressful for me.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break. I'm going to leave you guys with some music, and we will be right back.
Greeted by a new sunrise. Tomorrow's hopes are in my eyes. Horizons in the sky that's meant for me, meant for me. Ready now to face the day. Done with fears of yesterday. Waited long enough to say I'm on the way, I'm on the way. I believe. Believe.
Welcome back, ladies and gents, from the break. That was Believe by Feeling Deeper, Going Deeper, excuse me, and our previous guest, of course, Davis Mallory. And, you know, it's been one horrifying episode today. It's one technical challenge after the other. And, you know, Nick and I were just having a conversation on the phone while we were on break, and we were like, what is going on? And I'm just like, oh, but you know, we're gonna get through this. So Chris is back.
Well, at least you're recording.
Yes.
I mean, we've had episodes where we've done like half a show and you weren't recording, so
don't try to blame this on me, Miss Thing.
No, I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying, like,
I'm just saying. So Christopher, you're on mute. You're gonna need to unmute yourself. I can't do it for you.
Hello.
So we're back. Oh, look at that.
Look at that. Oh, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, right? Imagine that.
There it is. Ooh. It's like Rachel Maddow.
Who
was Ellen Stephanopoulos? Oh, Ellen, right, exactly.
Ellen, and then who are you?
I feel like I'd probably be like a Cuomo.
Yeah, because don't even say Anderson Cooper, because we're
gonna I'm not pretty enough to be Anderson Cooper. I know that. I feel like I would be. No, I'd be John King of CNN.
At least you said
I love John King.
At least you said it. Okay, so so we've got a couple of stories. Two,
I really
three.
Can't stand this non-mirroring thing.
Look at this. Your hair's a mess, girl. So all right. So maybe I'll go. I'll go and I'll start while she goes and does her thing. So there's a story that was published today. Let me find it here. And according to LGBTQNation.com, the state of Maryland is now helping people, or specifically transgender folks, pay for the cost of changing their name. So the program would cover the cost of filing for the petition with the court, posting requirements, issuing a new birth certificate, a new ID, and printing and mailing fees. And I think that this is a fantastic thing, because more states should be doing stuff like this as well. It's bad enough when you're trying to transition that you also have to worry about the burden of having to go through the motions of figuring out how to do that. And I think that by the state of Maryland stepping up and doing this and helping transgender people who want to go through the transition and the legal process of changing their name, that having it available is a huge resource for this particular group and members of our community. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I think it's great. I do think it's important to point out that this is not Maryland government-backed bill. It's not a bill. It's a program that seems to be crowdsourced.
And it's amazing. So, correction, it's not the state of Maryland, but people in Maryland.
Have this
option.
It's fantastic. Agreed. It's just definitely, it's not like a state fund, or Maryland, I think, is a commonwealth. But anyway, it's not a state funded thing right now, but it's an initiative that is being taken by individuals in the state of Maryland.
And I think it's awesome. I think it's a beautiful thing. You know, anything that could make it easier, right? I mean,
yeah, and I think it's something to look into. I mean, if we look at the report, this came out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, the assistance is being crowdsourced on social media. The initiative has raised over $3,000 so far, and it costs approximately $250 per person for the organization to pay the entire cost. So it's definitely something that is great that we're bringing to light and we're talking about, because it's going to need more money coming in. And the only way that's going to happen is by giving it more publicity.
So I think, so correction again, states aren't doing this, but I think there should be more crowdsourcing in all states, whether through private organizations or you know, nonprofits that could totally pick this up and run with it. It's a beautiful initiative, and it helps so many people through a process that could be very, very grueling for people.
Right.
Who
well,
want to
I mean,
go
it's
through.
Of course, it's a snowball effect. When you look at Massachusetts back in what was the year that they legalized same-sex marriage? You know, that began it.
I think that was 2010. Then,
yeah, it was early. Mm-hmm. I think it might have even been before that, to be honest. I think it was like 2008 or 2009.
Could have been.
Anyway, when the Commonwealth of Massachusetts legalized same-sex marriage, you know, it really snowballed into going into almost hitting that 37 state margin to where we would have to have it constitutionally changed. Luckily, the Supreme Court jumped in at that point. But I think it's important. These issues such as conversion therapy has been the same thing. You know, it started at small grassroots levels, state by state, and as state governments began to outlaw this flawed and inaccurate and torturous practice, it's moved across multiple different states. So it is progress. I think this is big. It's great that it's starting in Maryland, and I think it's going to move out to branch out to many other states.
That's fantastic.
It was 2004 for Mass, by the way.
I thought it was way earlier than 2010. Yeah. Sorry. Thank you, Trish.
You know, it's
fact checking.
Thank you, darling. I appreciate it. So one more quick mention before we turn it over to Trish, because she's got an awesome story that recently happened and we're super excited about it. But Pixar Studios has a short film called Out. It's also one of the first films on that studio or in that studio that's featuring a prominent lead character that is gay. And so it's called Out. It'll be available, I would assume, on Disney at some point. Because Pixar is owned by Disney, I believe. And
yes,
they're affiliates. I don't know.
Yeah. But either way, I mean, just the fact that, you know, they're having, you're seeing this influx of LGBTQ media and people and focus in mainstream. And it's, again, we've had this conversation over the past two or three episodes about positivity and how we're being showcased in a lot of the media nowadays. And it's super endearing and super awesome to see happening. And so to all the studios out there that are doing it, you know, that are really taking the opportunity or the time to showcase who we are as people and not stereotyping what typically people would think about, you know, deviance or whatnot, is really an amazing thing. It's very positive. It helps people, and especially young people growing up, to see themselves in a way that is positive for others. So I want to thank Pixar Studios and all the other studios that are doing this, because it is going to make a very positive impact for members of our community. So, Nicholas, you have a story.
Yeah, I do. I also want to name something that we haven't named yet, that it's Memorial Day, and we were not able to be together today, and it's weird because we usually, you know, barbecue and hang out, but I think we need to name and thank all of our fallen and all of our current soldiers in the military, because that's what this day is all about. Yes, it's a day off, but it's not about us, right. It's about the people that protect us.
Right.
So I just wanted to name that so we didn't, because, you know, we always do, and we had a weird show and a weird beginning. We probably would have talked about this for a while and we didn't have a chance. So I just wanted to name it and put it out there if anybody wants to say anything.
Of course. Well, and it's important. I mean, Veterans Day is really better. I'm not mistaken. I'm just saying Veterans Day is the day that we really want to honor those who are serving us or who have served us. But Memorial Day is something so beautiful to really honor those that have served us, but paid that ultimate sacrifice.
Agreed.
Especially, you know, looking at the massive wars that we've taken place in. I mean, we're still at one. It's just so important to think of the many of hundreds of thousands, millions of people who have given their lives to secure our freedom.
Christopher, that's very beautifully said, and I love it. But you're right. You're right. And, you know, and the thing is that sometimes we lose sight, and then amidst all of this, right, in light of COVID and everything that's happening, sometimes we lose sight of all the important things that typically people would think, you know, oh, it's Memorial Day. We should really be thinking about, you know, those that we've lost that served our country and helped protect our freedoms. But COVID has taken everything and completely just turned it upside down, inside out, and we're just left with, like, what is going on?
Well, it's going to come down to the point where we're going to probably have another day of observation and memorial when it comes to those who have lost their lives serving us. Look at the nurses and the doctors mm-hmm. who have, we've lost them. Like, so many of them have worked themselves to the brink, whether it be they're subdued by the illness or other sad ways, but even those people who are, you know, delivery drivers, working at the pharmacies, working in the grocery stores to make sure, these are all frontliners who are really putting themselves on the line to make sure that life can continue.
You know, and if, unless you've been living under a rock, we do know that a lot of states, as of May 20, if I believe, already started opening up.
Reopening, right.
And so that reopening brings fears of another round of COVID cases that could spike. And so, you know, if you're going to go out there, be safe, wear your protective, you know, your protective equipment so that, you know, whether that's gloves or your mask, and try to, you know, continue to wash your hands and wash your ass. That's important. And, you know, just be cognizant of what's around you, the spaces around you, where you're at, so that people could, you know, understand that we need to make an effort to minimize the spread of COVID-19 and the continued spread of COVID-19. And the only way we're going to do that is if we stay vigilant and follow protocol.
Right, and it's also important to really reach out and thank people.
Yes.
It really is important. Like, driving around and seeing signs saying, thank you, God bless, like, it really means a lot. Even, I think I brought it up in a past episode, I was delivering to someone's house, and they had a basket of, like, snacks and Gatorades and stuff, like, thank you for delivering, and thank you for taking care of our family, so I hope we can take care of you. Please take a snack, like... It's so good seeing what people are doing. And I delivered to Cooley Dickinson. It's a hospital in Northampton that was hit particularly hard. And I was bringing food. And before I grabbed the food, I said, let me get a piece of baklava. Like, I want to buy this nurse or this doctor or this any administrator, whoever's working in the hospital, I want to buy her or him a treat. So I bought them a piece of baklava, and when I handed them their food, I was like, oh, this baklava's from us. And she, like, was almost tearing up, like, thank you so much, like, it really means a lot. These people work so hard, and
I would have been tearing up because I would have been like, eat baklava.
That's too but crazy.
No, it's absolutely true. And also, with Memorial Day being here, mm-hmm. thank a veteran when you see him. People laugh at me, but when I see veterans, even when I was answering phones at the bar I work at in East Hampton, Massachusetts right now, we're just doing curbside pickup, and someone called, and when they come, I say, okay, what kind of vehicle are you coming in? And they're like, blah, 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 with veteran plates. And I was like, you know, thank you so much for your service. Like, thank a veteran. People laugh about that when I thank veterans, and I think that's ridiculous. I mean, these people put their lives on the line to take care of us and make sure that to ensure that we have our freedom. So just be thankful. That's really all I can say right now.
Agreed. 100%. So, Nicholas, why don't we jump into your story? Then we'll do Mama Kim's Minute and all that good stuff. And
yeah, sure. So this is kind of weird, but Skittles is giving up their colors for the month of Pride. They are saying that there should only be one rainbow, which is, I don't know, like, when I saw it, I was like, at first, I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, like, it's the rainbow candy. I don't understand why they're giving up the rainbow. But then it kind of makes sense, but...
I'm still, like, a little confused about it.
Yeah, no, well, basically what they're saying is that during Pride Month, only one rainbow matters. That's why they're giving up their rainbow, to show support for the LGBTQ+ community. Like, they don't own it. Almost like they're giving it back to us. I don't know.
It's I mean, weird. I understand the metaphor. It's just that for me, I think that, I don't know, the rainbow disappearing from Skittles is sort of kind of like, yo, bitch, where's my colors? Like, yeah. I don't want to eat, like, translucent white rainbow, like, white Skittles.
It also was, you know, Skittles taste a rainbow.
Yeah. True, but I don't know. It's just,
not just Trisha's ass.
I love what they're doing with the fact that they're bringing awareness. Hey, listen, Pride Month is coming up. This is happening. Here's what we're going to do for
it. What's amazing about it, though, is that every Pride Skittles packet that's sold, it's helping raise money for nonprofit organizations that are LGBTQ nonprofit organizations like GLAAD, which is pretty amazing. So the sentiment is there. I just think it's kind of a weird thing to do. It's like, let's whitewash this rainbow.
It's like completely
Don't forget when you look at Australia. Remember when Australia was going through their
marriage equality?
Yeah, their marriage equality vote, and it was Ben and Jerry's, and they were only allowing you to get one scoop of a certain flavor. You couldn't get two of the same. Remember?
Yeah. But that made sense, right? Because
I think it was that way that the company was getting creative. So this company had multiple flavors of ice cream, but only one scoop of each was, you know, acceptable. You can't have two of the same. That's not right. And then Skittles is saying, you know, oh, you can't have a rainbow. That's not right. But no, it is right. And it's giving us the rainbow. I mean, I get it. I get the skepticism behind it. But I think it's
I'm not even skeptic about
right,
it.
Right. No, wrong word. I apologize.
It's interesting. No, it's just, I think it's an interesting marketing ploy. Like,
well, obviously it's
worked. I would always, if I was working for Skittles, I'd be like, I want to embrace the rainbow. How can I embrace the rainbow? Because I don't need to give it back. We already have it, right? So how do I embrace it?
But also, who wants to eat a candy that looks like cement?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It looks like a white, translucent piece of snot that you're about to throw in your mouth without the colors. And I'm like, oh, no. However, now that I know that there's proceeds going to LGBTQ-focused organizations, I'm going to go buy me some colorless Skittles.
Yep. For every Skittles Pride pack sold, they're donating $1 to GLAAD.
Well, damn.
So, at the end of the day, I think it's a great gesture.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I
think it is.
Their heart's in the right place.
Like, I would never want to give up my rainbow.
No.
But it's also to even think about, like, who in the company, you know, thought about this stuff. Like, there are people that really care in these big companies.
Well, I also think not necessarily that they care. I think
it comes down to am I doing it for marketing reasons?
It's trending.
It's the same as seeing like banks who are, you know, having floats in Pride parades, or companies that are having floats in Pride parades. I understand that.
You know, they want to show that they're inclusive so that they obviously get some of that customer base, but yeah, it's weird.
Well, I guess so. Skittles did this before. They did it in 2016 for Pride in London. So it's not new. It's just like kind of reinvented for the United States, which is kind of amazing right now if you think about it, actually.
Yeah.
If you think about the fact that, like, where we're at politically, where we're at, where we're going, where we're heading to, and, you know, we're about to make a huge decision with our president in the coming months. Like, it's kind of like the perfect time to be like, hey, the rainbow belongs to, you know, the LGBTQ plus community, and they're important, and they're making a statement now when they didn't do it before, if that makes any sense. I think I'm like talking in circles.
No, but it does. I mean, again, the concept of what they're doing and bringing awareness to the fact that it is going to be Pride Month, and that they're helping organizations like GLAAD with making donations for every unit sold is an amazing thing. And, you know,
like, why didn't they do it when they did it in 2016 London? Like, why didn't they do that here? You know what I mean?
I see. 2016 was a completely different year and a completely different era. I feel like that was like 20 years ago. But really, it was
right after marriage equality,
you know, and Obama was still president. It's like 2016 was also
an election. Yeah. And it was an election year. It's weird. I mean, that's no excuse.
No.
But it's an election year now.
Yeah. Agreed. Of course. Good point. Maybe they learned from their mistakes.
Well, either way, the intention is good. It's just a little weird to me. I want to see color. I don't want to eat white candy, but I'll buy the bag anyway.
You eat plenty of white candy. Don't lie.
Oh, well, that's true. But see, that's different kind of candy, Mr. Trish. So speaking of that,
she a snow queen.
Oh God. That's, Interesting. Anyway.
So speaking of that, and speaking of June, you know, Pride Month is coming, and there is no physical Pride. There is no Pride in NYC. A lot of Pride events have been canceled or pushed to October in certain states. So make sure that you check your local listing. Be aware of what's not happening. But also know that they're going to be doing a lot of digital stuff and a lot of digital prides. So make sure that you tune in. Let's be the inclusive and supportive community that we always have been. Let's rally around the digital support that we are getting and show them a good turnout, and let's be there in spirit digitally as we would have if we've gone to an event, because I think it is important that we support our community and also show the world that we're not going to throw a tantrum like some people because we can't make it out to Pride. We're going to find a way to do it, and we're going to do it in a safe manner, and we're going to be inclusive and have fun doing it. So
yeah, we're not going to make a tantrum like we can't go, you know, get our hair cut or go to a golf course.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. I thought Nick was going to say something. And, you know, that being said, we as a community know what it's like to have to self-isolate or stop doing something or stop dead in our tracks and say, we need to refocus. We've done this before. This is not our first time in the rodeo. And so, so when you see a pride, a local virtual pride being held, participate, watch it. Let's show them love, because that's how we do it in the LGBT community.
I think it's also important to note, like, don't be dumb. Like, you were kind of alluding to this. Like, if you know, Pride is canceled, that doesn't mean let's protest. Let's make our own Pride parade. Let's go march. If you want to go and have sex with somebody and, like, enjoy yourself, fine, be safe, do what you want to do. States are opening. I mean, we had this conversation with Dr. G. Like, it's at your own risk, but don't put other people at risk, right? Yeah. So, like, don't be that person. Don't go out and protest a Pride march because it has nothing to do with you. It's actually for the safety of you and our community.
And there are alternatives. I mean, we can still have some kind of Pride marches, but look at the other states that have been having birthday parades or different celebration parades in their cars.
That's right.
You know, just as with graduation, I mean, look at all these. Yes. Okay. Last Tuesday, I was supposed to walk for my first college degree. I officially completed my associate's degree. Many more years of work to go. But then when you, thank you, Tom. But then look at the high school students that have been doing this in, like, they're missing their prom, they're missing their senior outings, they're missing their graduation. This is, like, such an uplifting part of their lives and, like, a true accomplishment, and they can't walk on stage for it. But they have been having vehicular parades. That sounds weird. That was a proper word, but it sounded weird.
Yeah, no, having,
like,
yeah.
Because,
like,
I thought the word that followed that would have been manslaughter.
Exactly, right. It sounded like a crime. But they've been having, you know, parades with cars. So you're maintaining that social distancing, yet you're still acknowledging and celebrating accomplishments that have been achieved.
That's awesome. All right. Well, listen, we are an hour in. We've got Mama Kim's Minute and a couple of other things that we are working on. So I'm going to toss it over to Chris and Nick. Chris is going to time him. Nick is going to read you Mama Kim's Minute, and then we'll move on to the rest of the show.
All right, I'm ready.
I forgot I was muted. Hold on. I need my cell phone for this. Hold on.
All right, everybody, here's Mama Kim's Minute. So Hungary erases trans and intersex rights in new law. This map shows LGBTQ plus protections worldwide. It's even worse than it looks. When Dan Levy explained why wearing a mask isn't about, what, that doesn't make sense. The nurse is sharing his harrowing 8-week fight with Corona. That is Mama Kim's Minute, and that was a hot mess.
Oh, yeah, it was a hot mess. Also,
wait, hold on. Watch Dan Levy explain why wearing a mask isn't
about freedom. About freedom.
Oh,
They put it into the link.
That's why. Sorry. Okay, so.
There it is. Yeah. Also, you were like, I mean, you always have this like upbeat manner when you do Mama Kim's Minute, but the first one was terrible.
Yeah, it was just like
it wasn't happy. It's like hungry, a racist, trans, and intersex rights in their new law.
That one needs to be a little like
hungry, racist.
I agree,
trans,
though. I know. I noticed that. I was like, okay. I cannot.
No, you're right. You're right. But I'm like,
no.
I can't. I'm like, look at that. Like, oh, I include it in the link. That's why it doesn't. Okay, that is okay. Got it.
Also, you've done this gay talk term, by the way.
We have.
I didn't put it in there.
I did.
Oh,
sorry.
There's an old one in there.
Well,
one of my
I don't have the book.
Well, we're gonna do it again.
Oh,
for those okay, of Tom. You, for those of you who may have gotten the gay talk term today that existed probably like 100 episodes ago, you're getting it again. So, Chris.
Oh no, it's Trish.
Oh, it's Trish. All right, Trish, go for it.
Oh, frozen fruit. Wait, it's your gay talk term this week.
Do we not like do the today?
We're never gonna get it.
Oh, all right, gotcha. Everybody. All right, they didn't. You know, they didn't let me know about that. So, what's my frozen fruit, Trish?
This week's gay talk term is brought to you by
GayRealEstate.com. I wasn't sure if it was not really sure who sponsored us.
Can we delete this episode? All right, so this week's Gay Talk term, of course, brought to you by GayRealEstate.com, is frozen fruit, which means a frigid homosexual.
There
so,
she is, right there.
There it is.
Oh, my God. All right, Christopher.
You're 10. You know, on this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by GayRealEstate.com. That's my solo. And thank now you. I'll give you my soliloquy.
As he takes a sip.
Yes, of course. It was a little part. So on this day in gay history, when? May 25th, 2019, where? Well, it's globally. The World Health Organization no longer classifies being transgender as a mental disorder in the international arena, if you will. So the most recent version of the International Classifications of Diseases, or ICD-11, being transgender is now categorized under sexual health as gender incongruence. Nailed it. Previously, it had been known as gender identity disorder, and it has been classified as a mental illness. So no longer can someone be labeled, according to the WHO, as having a mental disorder for being who they truly are.
Yeah, I remember when that was when that happened, we were celebrating because it was an amazing thing,
right,
for our brothers and sisters in the trans community. So that's awesome.
Right.
Well, we're gonna go ahead and start making some announcements and making our way out. I'm gonna mute Chris for 1 second. While we do that. So if you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of all of our episodes delivered right to your web browser or your favorite device as soon as the episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which is allows you, our listener, to help support the show with a monetary donation. Those donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. The next line would have been for Elsie, but she couldn't.
I'm gonna take it.
So, Chris, take it away.
All right. Next week, once again, well, not really once again, because we did have a guest today. But next week, we are excited to have a full episode of The Dish. We're going to bring you news and stories from around the globe impacting the LGBT community.
Which is amazing. And hopefully, if we muster...
That's not true.
Well, God damn it. Who wrote this shit?
It is. And it's going to be...
It's Dr. G next week, everybody.
Well, oh, Dr. G's back.
That wasn't on the
first
calendar.
First Monday of every month.
Well, it wasn't on the calendar. Right.
So
darn.
Next week, we're proud to welcome the very nice doctor who has gentle fingers.
Chris has felt them inside him.
All right, everybody.
Facts.
So this was a hot mess, but thank you to our guest and ongoing guest, Glenn, for being on the show once again. You can check out Camp Getaway on Bravo every Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And guess what? You can get your discount today for Future Method. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs. The first of its kind, doctor-developed formula that gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can use code GAYTALK20 for 20% off, valid for one purchase or subscription per person.
Thank you, Chris, for that wonderful dissertation.
That was not Chris.
See, I was wanting to, I was checking to make sure that y'all were paying attention.
Okay. Oh, get out of here. All right. It's so messy in here, and we're talking about STDs and bum cleanings. Can we please put a rubber on this?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen, and Trish. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitch Radio.
Nick announces that he's super happy Chris is back. Fuck off. You can find us on social media, Facebook, GayTalk 2.0, Instagram, GayTalk 2.0, Twitter at GayTalk20. You can email us at GayTalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, you can do so by visiting our website, clicking on the Contact Us tab. There, you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast, or a question for an individual host, or among many things. You can also leave us a question via voice message. We can answer those for you on the show. Phone number is 334-429-8255 or 334-GAY-TALK. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, this has been one messy episode. Our apologies. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and y'all have a good night. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.